Welcome to worship here at Calvin Christian Reformed Church this morning. It's good to see you all here in worship. We pray that we would gather around Jesus, the feet of Jesus this morning, and learn again of who he is through the Spirit and approach the Father in his name. Before we get started in worship, a couple of announcements this morning. This coming Sunday, June 9th, Reverend Verlin Scopp will lead us in worship. And that's because this coming week is one of my study weeks. I will be gone in Wichita, Kansas at a conference presenting there, so I won't be here, so you need somebody else to lead you. So Verlin will be doing that, Reverend Scott. So if you have any questions about prayer chain or anything, go straight to Janet this coming week. And if you have some specific needs that are non-emergency, you can contact your district elder at that time. Again, if there is a major emergency, let me know. Wichita is not that far away. So, also, our women's ministry is inviting all the ladies from our church to a mystery outing on June 28th. It says, let's just say you don't have to go far away to have fun. So you can take a breath and not, you know, who knows, you might be kidnapped and taken several states away. No. There's a sign-up sheet in the narthex with details coming. I hope you can join them for an enjoyable day. It sounds like a good bit of fun. So, Vacation Bible School is also coming up at the end of this month, June 23 through 26th. Again, this year's theme is the Apostle Paul, his dangerous journey to share the truth in Athens. Each evening we'll begin with a meal, and we're still looking for a co-director and group leaders, and there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer, and you can talk to Caitlin Vischer if you have any interest in helping out with that. Also, if you have kids that will be attending, there are already online, you can look up the songs so your kids can start learning the songs for Vacation Bible School. And then finally, our prayers for Synod coming up. It's going to start, let's see, Friday, June 14th, and run through Thursday, June 20th. Prayers that our church would make good decisions, and especially prayers for our delegates from Classes Heartland this time, who happen to be one of them from our very church. So Dwayne Walhoff, one of our elders, is going as an elder delegate for Classes Heartland, and Reverend Jesse Walhoff, his son, is going as one of our minister delegates. So it's going to be a Walhoff affair there in Grand Rapids, and pray for them as they just deal with Synod and everything that goes with Synod, all the joy and all the stress. So prayers for them as well. That's all for announcements this morning. Would you join me now in a time of silence as we prepare our hearts for worship? Would you stand now for God's call to worship this morning? Our call to worship comes from 1 John chapter 4. The Apostle John writes, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." Sisters and brothers, we have come into this place of worship, into a people of love, a people founded in the God of love, a people who have received love in Jesus by the Spirit, and a people then who love one another in the Spirit. And as we are part of that communion of love, we join together with joy in our hearts and love in our mind, and we sing our song of worship before the throne of God above. As we come into God's presence as the people of love, the people redeemed by love, the God of love greets us with these words this morning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Having received God's greeting this morning, we know even as a people of love that we don't often always love. That our hearts often love ourselves more than one another or God. And so we confess our sins together, saying together our prayer of confession. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy immortal one, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And the God of all love, again, assures us that his name is love. He assures us that our lack of love is forgiven in the Son. Hear the good news again today. The Apostle John writes that if we confess our sins, Jesus Christ is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the mark of his love, not just a past love, but a present love. For he is our faithful high priest here and now. Not just in the past, but here and now, to declare to us, if you have confessed your sins, says Jesus, your sins are forgiven. And having been assured of God's love for us, we can abound in love for each other, and we can turn now to one another, and we can greet each other in Christ's name and pass on that love and peace.
Good morning.
Not only do we abound in love for one another here and now, but we express that love for one another and for God in responding to his love with gratitude, with our own love. Jesus said that the definition of the law, the Ten Commandments, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And so today, we are going to do a litany of the Ten Commandments responsively together as we work in love together. Brothers and sisters, hear the word of the Lord. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. We say together, with God's grace and the support of each other, as part of Christ's body, we promise, I will love the Lord our God with all my heart, soul, and mind, and my neighbor as myself. May the God of all peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We continue our worship this morning with our song of praise, He Leadeth Me.
Thank you.
this time again, we gather our hearts together as one people of God in love by the power of the Spirit as we pray through Jesus to the Father. And so I would ask you to gather your hearts with mine as we go before the Father's throne. Would you pray with me this morning? Holy Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the blessed eternal one who lives in ever ring of love and harmony, the one who overflows with joy, we wonder at you. We stand in awe of you, for you are our God, and there is no other. You are our Savior. Only you, O Holy Triune God, would have stooped to create this world, for you are one who loves, always giving. Only you would have stooped to redeem this world, for you are love, always giving. And in thankful response, we seek to love you. And we offer our love as imperfect, stumbling children back to you. Oh, Lord God, we love you, and we need to feel your fatherly love through Jesus in the Spirit. There are many among us who are ill, and we pray for them as we pray for them every week. Lord, the sign that we pray about them to you every week is a sign of how close they are to our hearts and how much pain there is. We pray for John and Mary Van Hill's daughter, Sandra. We pray for healing, Lord. We pray for it. We pray for Greg Smith. We pray for healing and remission for him. Lord, we pray for Glenda Hoffland, healing for her. We pray for Nomi Voss. We pray for Tyler, Jesse Van Otterloo's fiance. Lord, we pray for all of our shut-ins. We think of Frank Vandenbosch, Patty Ritzema, Margaret Hopp, Denise Mastbergen, and Jan Sneller. We think of Audrey Van Grau and Ken Van Grau. Lord, show them your love in a tangible, real way this morning. And give them your peace. Lord, we pray for those that we support who are seeking to promote your love and show your love in Jesus Christ to places in the world that do not know it. We think of the Michelsons who are nearing retirement. We pray, Lord, that you would give them a good final months and they would see again your love poured out near them. We think of the Havlicheks as well. Lord, give them the grace that they need. Lord, we also pray for love in our communities and in our nation. Lord, your glory is in all the world, and we commend this nation to your merciful care. Being guided by your providence and love, we may dwell secure in your peace. And we pray that you would grant to the President of the United States and to all in authority wisdom and strength to know and to do your will, not their own will, but your will. Fill them with the love of truth and righteousness and make them ever mindful of their calling to serve the people of this nation in fear, your fear. Lord, teach them all to love and teach us to love as well. We are a very divided country right now. And Father, we need the humility and patience that comes with love. Grant this, we pray. Lord, we also pray this morning for those who are brokenhearted among us, those who struggle to see your love in their lives. There are so many ways in which sorrow can come, not only ill health, but also broken relationships, broken families, sins against one another, jealousy, gossip. Lord, sometimes we sin against other people, but sometimes they sin against us, and we just don't know what to do, and we hurt. Come near and fill us with your love so that we can love those who have hurt us. Fill us with your love so that we can find your forgiveness for when we have hurt others. Surround us, O Spirit of God. Surround us, though, that we might be your children, so that we might, in Jesus, be able to pray to you, to pray the prayer of love, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. At this time, I would ask the deacons to come forward to take our morning offering.
I follow through.
Our text this morning comes from Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 22, and we'll be reading verses 39 through 46. We're continuing our sermon series this morning on the Lord's Prayer. We have worked our way through Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and this morning thy will be done. Reading then from Luke 22, beginning at verse 39. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray. Arise and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." Sisters and brothers, this is the gospel of the Lord, to which we say, "Praise to you, Lord Christ." Would you pray with me this morning that this well-known story and that well-known phrase from the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done," would become new again to us and live in us by the power of the Spirit. Would you pray with me? Holy Father, breathe out your Spirit through the Son upon us, we pray, so that the Spirit might gather our hearts and bring them through Jesus back to you. Open the heavens and come among us. Be present here and now. Bring us near, we pray, Spirit of God, to Jesus. Bring us into his very prayer so that we pray in Christ and he prays in us, and that we become more and more true human beings who love one another. We pray all of this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. So in 1940, Walt Disney Pictures released its first symphonic movie, where it married together classical music and animation. Fantasia, it was called. And the centerpiece of Fantasia was a retelling of Goethe's famous German poem, The Sorcerer's Apprentice. The story is simple, and yet always, in some ways, ever relevant. The story begins in the dark workshop where the grand old ancient wizard is busy with his pointed blue hat with white stars and a crescent moon pulled down around his forehead. He's waving his fingers back and forth through the smoke, and he's creating this beautiful butterfly from this wisps. Smoke. It's coming together, floating there above his workbench, yellows and greens and blues and reds all appearing throughout its wings. Every gesture is deft and correct, the product of years of practice, years of training. But now he's done, and he waves the smoke away. The butterfly is gone. The old wizard stretches his arms and yawns. He takes off his blue pointed hat with its white stars and crescent moon and places it on the work table. And he heads up the stairs to bed. All of this magic work has wiped him out. But as he goes up the stairs, his hat thrums with energy. It glows with power. And on the other side of the workplace is Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse, the sorcerer's apprentice, in his red robe that has sleeves a little too long, and he is going about his master's will. The master has told him, take these buckets, fill them with water from the spring outside, pack them in here, and dump them in the massive basin in the center of the workshop. And so here is the little mouse with his black ears trudging along, tripping over his red robe, the sweat pouring off of his face, dumping one bucket of water in at a time. And it's a massive basin. Lots of work. Back and forth goes the apprentice. And this time he stops as he comes to the door and sets his buckets of water down because the workshop is empty. And that pointed hat is sitting there on the table, glowing with power and life. He looks around, tiptoes up to the stairs. He can see his master's shadow receding up the tower. This wasn't what he signed up for, all this packing water when he decided to be the sorcerer's apprentice. He wanted the power to control the universe, the power to call on the stars. And instead, he's water, water, pack, 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 splash, splash. But now, right here in front of him on the table, is the source of the master's power, the hat. Maybe there's a better way to do this. Maybe his master's will is a little bit too hard. I mean, he's starting to get blisters on his little, you know, white-gloved Mickey hands. The temptation is too much. So the mouse grabs the hat, pulls it down between his two black ears. He looks around the room, and there in the corner is a broom with flopping red sleeves all over the place. He magics the broom to life. It springs up and walks over to him. He gives it two arms and begins to wave it through all of the motions. All right, pick up the two buckets, come over here, put them in the water, put them in the water, walk back over here, dump it in the massive basin. Back and forth. And he's waving it along. Mickey's very proud of himself at this moment. And the broom is going along, and of course in Fantasia we're hearing the great symphony as well. Do 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 do, right? Broom's going along, dumping the water in. Mickey is feeling pretty good. He sits down now at the master's table in the master's own chair. He leans back and he continues to direct this whole performance as the broom goes out to the stream and dumps the water in and back and forth. But soon he himself is growing a little tired and he nods off and he begins to dream. And in his dream, he is on the top of a great mountain and there are the stars in the sky and he's pointing at them and they are flashing. He's calling and the clouds are rolling towards him in thunder and lightning. Comets are swaying by at his command. And with every gesture, the waves of the sea are crashing at the sides of the mountain and he awakes the crashing waves of the sea. But these are not the waves of the sea in his dream. These are the waves of the overflowing basin in the midst of the master's workshop, crashing against the sides of his chair, because all the while he's been sleeping, the little broom has been going, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Water, water, back, splash, splash. And now the entire floor is covered with water. And now it's getting deeper and deeper, and Mickey begins to try to fix this. No, no, no. But he can't remember the magic word. He can't seem to stop it. And the broom walks inexorably on, back and forth, and the water just keeps filling the workshop. And in a moment of panic, the little sorcerer's apprentice grabs the master's axe, chases the broom out next to the spring, and there are splinters of broom everywhere. All good. But as Mickey shuts the door, he hears a rattling, a quivering, shaking, a as all of the splinters come to life, each a single broom with two arms and two buckets. And they all begin to dip out of the spring, and they all begin to walk towards that basin. And Mickey doesn't know what to do. Everything, all hell is breaking loose. Chaos is enfolding the workshop. It's flooding. The water is pouring out the windows. He's floating on this big magic book, desperate. What will happen? The whirlpool now begins to spill and suck him in down in the center of the workshop. He's about to die when finally the light comes on at the top of the stairs, and down descends the old sorcerer, and he sees the chaos mess. He raises his hands, and all of the water evaporates into bubbles. And the sorcerer's apprentice sheepishly walks forward and hands back the hat, picks up each of his buckets, and gets a swift kick out the door. Now, many times in our lives, this story of the sorcerer's apprentice feels like our story. Because you see, God has given us something to do. This is my will for you. Here are the buckets. You got your red robe on, roll up the sleeves, here are the buckets, here is the water from the spring, now take it over here and dump it in the basin. This is my job for you, this is my will for you. And at first we're good with this, okay, all right, the master wants me to do this, all right, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, okay, I can do this. But after a while we start to get a little bored. We start to feel like, I'm not feeling particularly, I don't know, fulfilled by this. I'm not feeling happy by this. I don't feel comfortable. This is actually hard work. I'm starting to get blisters. I'm sweating like Mickey Mouse. I mean, this is not going well. And yes, it just keeps going. And I thought that when I became a Christian, I would learn, you know, to control the stars, so to speak, that I would have power, that I would have control, that everything in my life would go like I wanted it to go. But instead, here I am stuck, going back and forth between this wretched spring and that blasted basin in the workshop. And then one day, as we're coming in with our buckets, it seems like the workshop is empty. It seems like God has disappeared upstairs for a quick 40 winks. And there's the hat on the table. Well, maybe we could try it my way for a change. I mean, yeah, we'll make sure there's water in the basin, but maybe we could try it our way. My way, I should say. The hat's right there, blue, pointed, the white stars and the crescent moon. We pull it off, we slip it on our heads between our two big black Mickey ears. We magic the broom to life. And we say, okay, now let's do things this way, my way, an easier way, a more comfortable way. And we sit back in God's chair and we congratulate ourselves on being full of initiative and figuring out how things ought to go in our lives. Yeah, this is how it goes. It goes like this. And we're waving the broom through the paces and we fall asleep and we dream of our power. We dream of our control, of everything falling into place. The comets blazing by at our command. The storm clouds rolling in with our gesture. Oh, and the crashing waves at our command as well. But then, of course, we awake to our own crashing waves. The chaos of our decisions. The mess of doing things our way. A whole flooded workspace. And no matter how hard we try, we can't seem to clean it up. It just gets bigger and bigger. We grab the axe, we went out and we chop the wretched broom to pieces, our first choice of this is how we're going to do things. And yet, it becomes 1,000 more little monsters. And we can't seem to stop what we have created. Our wills have created a whirlpool of destruction. And of course, we have to call on God in that moment for the Father to come and wave his arms and change our mess into bubbles. And we kind of, I think, sometimes imagine that this is how our lives just kind of go, right? It's this constant tug of war between God's will and our will. And this is the only way that things can operate. This continued cycle of Mickey just putting that hat on his head and we're going to do it my way now. But there is another story, another way in which this story can go. You see, in our text this morning, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is standing right beside the work table. And that blue pointed hat with the white stars and the white crescent moon is right there in front of him. The Father has called Jesus to difficult work, hard work. Those buckets of redemption are heavy. And he's been carrying that water back and forth for 33 years. The blisters on his hands are even raw, getting bloody. He sweat over this. And now the work is about to end, but it's about to end like he doesn't want it to end. There is more blood on the horizon, his own blood. Even now the soldiers are crossing the Kidron Valley, about to ascend the slope of the Mount of Olives. And here he is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and there's the power, right there. I could do my own thing. I could do my own will in this moment. The temptation's there for Jesus. He could set aside the suffering. He could set aside the lack of comfort quite literally because, you know, it's not going to be particularly happy and fulfilling hanging on a cross. He could put on the hat. He could magic the broom to life. He could sit back in his father's chair as he watches the buckets of redemption go by. Well, there's got to be a different way to do this. An easier way, a better way for me, more fulfilling way for me. He could slip down that dark slope between the olive trees as the soldiers wind their way into the clearing, Judas at the fore. The disciples would wake. Everyone would look around. Where's Jesus? Where'd he go? He could be gone to Bethany or elsewhere, celebrating his own will, his own happiness, his own choice, his own decision in this moment. The genius of it. Directing redemption from the Father's chair. He could. But in that moment, what would happen? Would it really be genius? In the moment of humanity's greatest need, Jesus choosing to put on the hat and try things his own way and not his Father's way, his decision would reverberate throughout the cosmos. It would become a monstrous decision that would destroy the world and any hope in the world. For in that moment of doing his own will, Jesus would have ceased to love. He would have ceased to do the Father's will. For again, that is the Father's will, to love, to give oneself. Greater love has no one than this, said Jesus, than that he lay down his life for his friends. He would cease to be the true human being, the one who gives. He would become selfish, convinced of his own power, not humble, not giving. And in that moment, we would all die. And so it is that Jesus wrestles there in the Garden of Gethsemane. His face tortured, the rivulets of sweat rolling down his temples, dripping onto the ground like clots of blood. And all the while he prays as the temptation is there, as that blue hat is right beside him, all the while he prays. If it is your will, Father, take this cup from me. But if not, thy will be done, not my will be done. In that moment, he submits to the Father. In that moment, he prays love. Not what he wants, but what God wants. In that moment of our greatest need, he prays to love, to be able to love. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. And it's in this moment of pushing aside the blue hat, that Jesus comes to us this morning. He comes to us and he finds us sleeping in the Father's chair, waving the symphony on, the blue hat pulled down tight between our two black Mickey ears. And he shakes us awake. Wake up! Why are you sleeping? Arise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Pray! The one who has refused his own will wakes up those of us who are drunk on our own selfishness. Arise and pray, he says, even as the flood of our monstrous decisions sweeps him away to the cross. Arise and pray. And this is how you will pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, let love be. Let me be free to love as you are free to love, to give. You know, sisters and brothers, sometimes God's will is hard. There's a kind of myth that goes around in Christian circles that God's will is easy. We're always going to feel comfortable if we're Christians. But the truth of the matter is that sometimes we have no idea why God says, pick up these buckets and put them in the water here and come over here and dump them in this basin here. We have no idea. It's baffling. Wouldn't there be a better way to do this? I'm going to take the blue hat and we're going to fix this up. There's a nice broom in the corner that can pack these for me. We don't understand. And yet, God's will, the reason why it's so hard is because ultimately it's always a call to love. And that is the hardest thing in the world for us. The simplest thing, but yet the hardest thing. To love one another, to love God, to sacrifice for each other. It's much easier to do all sorts of other things, but to love. That's what rubs the hands raw on the pails of water. That's what makes it so boring, because it's not about me and what I want. It's about someone else. It's about being free not to have it for me, but to offer love to someone else. Hard. And yet, this is the prayer that Jesus invites us into this morning, the prayer of love. This is the prayer that he prays always. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the prayer that the Spirit prays within us as God trains us to love each other. So put away the blue hat, says Jesus. Ignore it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about what you want. Worry about love. And if you struggle with love, pray to the Father. Come, get down in the garden with me in this moment. Get down on knees with me. It's not always going to be easy. At times, the sweat is going to run down your temple and drop to the ground like clots of blood. Loving is hard. But can you pray with me? Asks Jesus. Can you pray, Thy will, O Father, be done on earth as it is in heaven? Teach me to love. Even now the Spirit is pressing you, sisters and brothers, and pressing me to put this prayer in our hearts and lives and make it part of who we are. Thy will, O God, be done, not mine. I need to pack water for the next 30 years. I don't get it. But Thy will be done. What will you pray this morning? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In response to God's word, I would invite you to stand as we confess our faith together in the words of the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 124, and we will read this responsively. What does the third petition of the Lord's Prayer mean, the one that says, Thy will be done? What does it mean, sisters and brothers? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven means, help us and all people to reject our own wills and to obey your will without any back talk. Your will alone is good. Help us one and all to carry out the work we are called to do as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. Our song of response this morning is Be Thou My Vision, as we seek to enter into God's will, to pray the prayer of Jesus and say, Not my will, but Thy will be done, O Father. Sisters and brothers, as you know, go out in mission and in ministry to love and to serve God. Go out with the Lord's Prayer on your lips, and especially this week, this phrase, Thy will be done. This is the prayer of love, the prayer of self-sacrifice, the prayer of giving to one another and to God. Receive now the parting blessing of your God. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. And all of God's children said together, Amen. Amen.